This is the intro. Intro done. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host Adrian, here with a man who trains German shepherds to bark in Spanish. I feel like I've done that one.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Either way, I'm Ramon.
Yeah, you are.
The made-up brother, according to Mr. Taylor.
Scroll. Shroud. Shroud.
Shroud.
Taylor Shroud.
Yes.
You know it makes me want to shroud.
Anyway. Scroll, right?
Scroll. I don't even know anymore. I don't even know who he is.
That's a made-up last name.
It has to be.
Well, yeah, we're trying to do a little something different this time around with the whole conversations series.
Indeed.
And it's kind of like a free-for-all type of thing.
Yeah.
It's still
we're
a bit
freestyling
focused.
It's focused on the conversations. You know, we did have a few really good conversations, one about music. I wish you would have been there for that one, just because many people don't know this, and this is actually not made up. I mean, none of them are, but this one especially is not made up. Ramon was actually in a heavy metal band once upon a time. A
long time ago.
As I recall, you were a late bloomer when it came to your liking of music, but even though you started a little bit later, because I remember our older brother Miguel and I were always into music, like, since we were, yikes, like, really little. Like, I remember being five, 6 years old and already getting into, like, oldies, like Ritchie Valens. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of progressed and whatnot, but I didn't see that interest, that spark, you know, looking at this campfire, speaking of sparks, until later. But you actually picked up an instrument.
Yeah, I picked up a guitar. I got pretty good at it at one point, and then I just kind of stopped trying to refocus my endeavors elsewhere as I got older. And not too long ago, I was reading scripture, and something popped out that was really good. It was about rejoicing in our sufferings, and I looked up the whole I don't want to say verse because it's a whole bunch of verses, but. It's from Romans chapter 5, and it reads, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us."
Mm.
Delicious.
And
delicious.
Here I thought we were going to have a delicious. Very nice.
Yeah, and it's, I kind of brought it up too earlier. It's been definitely a challenging year for me. And the part that really stood out in the and from this particular scripture was knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That's the part that really knocked me on my butt, you know, and just punched me right in the mouth. Is that, hey, idiot, you're not alone, and you're never gonna be alone. You're not walking by yourself, and you will never be walking by yourself. How beautifully, like, that the Word of God just delivered that message to me. Mm-hmm. That endurance produces hope. And in order to produce that, you have to go through some stuff, man. We always talk about that. Always talk about that. And, you know, even like our slogan, iron sharpens iron, right here with my brother, just hanging out. And even the little dumb conversations that we have, we always bring it back to scripture, and we always bring it back to God's love for us.
You know, one of the things that we're not too keen on as men, and this is probably something that was brought up by Joe Melendez, is that as men, we're not really too keen on letting other people into our weaknesses. Yeah. You know, we don't let people know about it too often because, I don't know, it may make us seem weak. But that's one of the things that the scriptures talk about, you know, that in our weakness, we are strong. Mm-hmm. And it's not any of our doing that makes us strong. It's that in our weakness, we can actually surrender and let God be the freaking master of the universe.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, we've come to believe that it's men who run the world, that it's us who are basically in charge. And God put us in charge, but always with a trust in Him.
Yep.
And that's the thing that kind of... That cannot be separated from who we are and from our identity and our need for community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Fulton Sheen gave us that visual of the cross where the vertical part is our relationship with God and then the horizontal is our relationship with one another because we're on the same plane because all the men are created equal. And then there's Ramon. He's better. Nonetheless, we're in this together. And that's one of the beautiful things about this podcast is that we build community. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, we would be... First of all, we would be just a couple of guys talking if it weren't for people listening. You know, but we'd be on our own if it weren't for the community. And that's a reason for the series, you know. It's like, we're not alone. There's a bunch of other guys that are walking with us in this path. And there's a bunch of... prayers that have been said for you even before you even started listening. There's a bunch of people that, you know, we kind of keep in contact with through social media that have been with us from the beginning, and that's just freaking encouraging. You know, both guys and the good women that follow us and keep on encouraging us, you know, because I didn't realize how important our sisters were going to be in this process. Like, I was just like, oh, you know, podcast for guys, but just to know that there's women out there who appreciate this happening, you know, this community happening, that just, I don't know, gets right to my heart.
I know, and the ones that listen to the podcast with their husband, it's beautiful that we get to be part of that. You know, we get to share our gifts as men with some married couples.
Yeah.
You know, because you're a married man, but I'm not. And it's just... It's just another thing to add to my list too. Like, yeah, like that. Me and my wife, we're gonna be in this together. Like in every aspect of our marriage, we're gonna be together. Because, yeah, they're, I don't believe in divorce. And it's one of the things that we were talking about earlier too, Adrian. Where we were saying like, yeah, just because you get annoyed by your sweetheart for like 3-4 days, 3-4 weeks, 3-4 months, that doesn't mean that you're just gonna give up. Like that doesn't warrant you the right to walk away or get a divorce, because marriage is I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you guys know what marriage is, but marriage is that it's a sacrament. Sacrament is four levels up higher than a promise, you know. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to share some stuff with one of the coworkers this past week, where we were talking about like marriage. Because I asked her, oh, like how long have you been with your boyfriend? He's like, oh, 5 years. Like, oh, cool. So any plans for marriage? And because I'm nosy like that. I'm nosy.
I mean, once you build the kind of
rapport that you have with
people, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't want to
get... It's not even uncomfortable.
Yeah. And she didn't think it was weird because, yeah, exactly. Like, I built that rapport with her and she knows I'm not just some creepy little Mexican guy that's like, hey, so I... Anyway, I digress. But we're talking about marriage and then she's like, nah, I don't really believe in marriage. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Why is that? It's like, oh, well, marriage is just the paper. And then I let her finish what she had to say, but basically that marriage is just the paper, that it's... love that really matters and all that, and there's truth to that, you know, to be fair to her, there's truth to that. And I told her, you know what, I agree that marriage can be a paper when the government gets involved in it. Because the sacrament of marriage is that it's a sacrament, something sacred, something that God created. And I asked her, do you know what a sacrament is? And she's like, I think so. It's kind of like baptism. And it's like, yeah, yeah, exactly. But a sacrament is an agreement that you have with God. It's something holy. It's something special. Only begins to describe what it is. And I told her exactly what I had said earlier, that, you know, just because you get tired of them for like three, four months, that does not give you permission to walk away from them. And I used a pretty decent example with, because she had trusted me with something about her, a family member. I was like, well, would you give up on that person? He's like, no way. It's like, why? Because that's my brother. That's my blood. And you don't give up on family. Like, okay, good.
Bingo.
And now, exactly. Yep. And I was like, there you go. You just said exactly why you would not give up on your spouse. Because once you make that, and you're probably going to say it better than me, so I'm just going to throw the little, not counterfeit, but
You hooked me in. Yeah. You hooked me in, man.
But yeah. Well, whatever. So I told her, yeah, like that's exactly the same thing for when you get married. Like, yeah, your spouse is not your blood, but that's that's your partner that's going to take you to heaven. I mean, if you believe in God, like I hope this makes sense. I told her, she's like, no, yeah, I believe in God. It's like, yeah, well, that's what it is. You know, that's why I don't really care for the government getting involved in it. But yeah, I'm kind of like butchering the message here. So maybe if you want to pick up,
no, I love clean the way up you said
my
it.
Mess.
I love the way you said it. It's a little bit raw, but it's so good though. Yeah. Because you're basically saying all the stuff that I'm just going to put a name to, you know. Like, you basically just described what a sacrament, what a covenant is. You know, you just made each other into family. Mm-hmm. You know, and I even heard it in a Red Hot Chili Peppers song once upon a time. You know, I don't even remember the title of the song, but it's about making you my family. You know, that's basically what marriage is you're making each other into family. And like you said, you never give up on family. Ohana. Ohana means no one gets left behind.
Oh yeah, Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch, man. You know, their understanding of family is just, it's a beautiful thing, you know, and that's actually what marriage is, like we said. You know, it's making the other into, no longer the other, into me. You know, like, we are one, and I choose to make you family. Like, you're that important to me.
Yeah.
It makes two strangers into the two closest family members that there can be.
Yeah, I think it's just, we water it down so much, and I don't want to blame it on the culture or anything like that. It's just, but that's what we see, you know. People just see their husband or their boyfriend, girlfriend as just the lover, but when you start seeing them as family,
mm-hmm.
and just every relationship I've had, like I've really looked at her as, like, you could potentially be my wife. You could be my family. And that's why I brought them over to meet the family, because, like, hey, like, this is my family, and without saying it, it's like, hey, like, this could potentially be our family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's extremely, extremely important that we keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And yeah, we already know all this stuff, but it's so important to remind each other of it. Because you don't just go to the gym once and you know, you get, like, that's it, you win. No, it's a lifelong commitment to health. Forget about building biceps and all that. It's just, it's about getting stronger, not just your muscles, but your heart. You know, the most important muscle.
One of the main reasons why we exist as a podcast, you know, is that we're not claiming to be, like, your gurus for anything spiritual. We're just, like, here living our lives and hoping that other people can relate. And just based on the feedback that we get, you know, it's like, yeah, you know what? I can identify with those two little Mexican guys from Los Angeles. And that's beautiful. You know, I see different people from many different cultures just, like, saying hi, and, you know, diversity is our strength. That's really what we're about. Man, I kind of do want to jump into that, you know?
We'll do it.
But I don't have that much to say other than that, you know? It's just like, that's a great thing about Catholicism, is that it doesn't matter, you know, like, we come from all sorts of places, and, like, so? Like, who cares? Who gives a rat's behind?
What's the definition of Catholic or Catholicism? But it's universal,
Greek,
right?
For universal, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of redundant, and that's why we kind of poke fun at it, where it's like, oh, diversity is our strength. It's like, bro, this is a East LA coming out of me, like, bro, like, we've had it for a long time.
And so cool to just see that, and it's like, it's just matter of fact, like, it's just what it is. And you don't need to tell anyone who, like, hits follow on our account on Instagram or anything. Like, it's not even a conversation. Like, we just bring up that we're Mexican every once in a while, and, like, that's it, you know? Like,
yeah.
We're American. Culturally. See what happens when we start getting into it? It's just like, no, like, we're just children of God, and that's it, man. Like, we're human, and we have human problems, and we have human relationships, and we have faith in common with all these people that follow us, all these individuals, yeah. You want to use that word, you know, like, all these people that just are looking to be better. They're looking for the same thing that we are.
You know what's crazy, too, when people, they get really weirded out when we start talking about some stuff, you know, like, for example, and it's at work again, we were in the break room, and it was like, I was blessed was I among the women, you know, it was like maybe like five ladies in the break room with me, and then the age range from like 21 to all the way to like 40, and they were talking about like the holidays and how. And it wasn't like a negative thing where they were like, oh, yeah, because the corporate holidays this and that. And mm-hmm. But again, they weren't complaining about anything. And I jumped in and I was like, yeah, like, I actually don't mind the corporate holidays. It's kind of nice to have those little reminders that of what truly is important. You know, like Valentine's Day. Yeah, like it became this big corporate thing where you have to buy flowers and chocolate and et cetera. But sometimes we get so busy that we forget to tell the person that we love, not tell them necessarily, but show them in a very special way how much we care about them. Because I've heard a lot of different stories of like how people celebrate Valentine's Day, and I've heard a lot of just beautiful things, like not just cooking a dinner or whatever, but
I mean, that is special.
Yeah, it is, but just having a really good conversation and reminding their spouse of why they fell in love with them and why they're not going to give up on them ever.
Hmm.
And, you know, I kind of brought that up too. And then they kind of went like, oh, like, yeah, like it's a beautiful thing. You know, it really depends on what's in here. And I pointed in my chest, like, what's in your heart? Because if you're just going to look at the negative, you're just going to end up in not a good place. I'd rather focus on the good stuff, you know. And I also shared, like, at Thanksgiving, like, I'm pretty close with my immediate family, but Thanksgiving rolls around and then the extended family gets together,
yeah,
and we share this wonderful meal, and then we just start sharing stories of throughout the year and how we've been doing, and it's the same thing year after year. But it's just a beautiful reminder to slow down, right?
Mm-hmm.
To slow down, make time for family, extended family, share a meal, bless the meal, and be in community with your blood. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I always throw in the faith, you know, not just with the blessing of the meal, but it's like, yeah, like we're practicing Catholics, and this is what we believe in, and you know, just like you said, Adrian, you know, Ohana, like Lilo and Stitch, you know? Yeah, it's just those beautiful reminders, you know? And like, yeah, like, I'm... That's when I sprinkle my religion. That's when I'm like, yeah, Catholic. 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 I'm not the best Catholic. I'll never be, but if this sorry excuse for what a Catholic man is can touch some hearts, I kid you not, somebody got a teary-eyed. Because when you put things into perspective,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just, you know, quote unquote, a corporate holiday, it's like when you see the beauty of it, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I'm all about malls being decked out for Christmas, you know, because what they're doing is they're exploiting the what we already believe. You know, they're exploiting what's in our heart. You know, they're pulling at those strings. Good. That means that those strings are there to be pulled to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the great thing, is that all that stuff that you said, and I'm not going to try to add anything else to it. I'm just going to go off of what you said. And yeah, the corporate holiday stuff is there, and that's good. Mm-hmm. That means that the culture still has a soul, and we can deny the divinity or the divine origins of it, but it's there.
Yep.
And you cannot have that corporate holiday that capitalism is getting something right. You know, it's realizing that we still have a soul as a culture, and they're gonna bank on it.
And, you know, to your point, Adrian, because you brought up the fact that I was in a metal band, like, in my youth.
In your youth.
In my youth with
the
neph.
You're still young. Youth.
Nah, but when I was a teenager, and I remember seeing this meme. I don't know if they were called memes back then on MySpace.
Oh. Ooh, you're going way back.
Big throwback. And that ain't even Thursday yet. Anyway, I saw this meme.
Throwback Tuesday.
Yeah, and it was so dumb. These like guys that like metal, and then it said like, oh, we may hate Jesus, but we sure love Christmas. And like somebody shared it with me, and I didn't really think it was funny, but I was just like, we were talking about it, me and this guy, and then I told him, well, it kind of makes no sense, because Christmas is about, of course, the birth of our Savior, but it's about family and love, and not the hatred that you think that metal is supposed to be, because metal is not supposed to be about hate, but for some reason, that seems to be like a good vehicle for it, I guess. But, and I forgot exactly what I said, because I had this conversation like over 15 years ago, but
dang,
yeah. But I remember bringing it back to the faith and to love and to the true spirit of Christmas, which is self-sacrifice and giving until it hurts. And then you keep going. So that's why that stupid meme is like, oh, we may love Christmas, but hate Jesus. Like, okay, I get it. That may be funny to some people, but it was never funny to me, because it's just, I know what Christmas is, and it just made no sense. I was like, dude. Wrong.
Wrong.
And then he's like, oh yeah, I know. Okay.
Okay, so you know. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good that you know.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, now you do.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to redirect things.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, like going back to that whole capitalism and exploitation and corporate and whatnot, you know, like, yeah, we just, as long as that's there, it's going to be so easy for us to redirect it. It's going to be so easy for us to just bring it back and say, you know why this is, right? You know why this exists. You know the reason for the season, if you want to use that. But when you were talking, I was just like thinking about St. Joseph the whole entire time, the Holy Family, you know, like that's their journey and them being together and the struggle and trying to find a place, you know, and how we're all trying to find our place, you know, here. That's the divine connection right there, you know? Mark Hart said this some time ago that God, we have a God that's not going to challenge us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. And that's why he came into poverty. He could have come in any way, shape, or form, and in any circumstances and conditions, but he chose poverty. He can relate with our struggles, and he will continue for the rest of time to suffer with us. If we're suffering, then he's suffering right there. Just a reminder that we're never going through this alone, and we will never go through this alone.
I listened to the Dave Ramsey show in the podcast form.
Yeah, and, buddy. I love that.
Yeah. His show is about getting out of debt and building wealth. And I love the ending, like how he closes the podcast. There's only one way to financial peace, and that's through...
To walk
through,
daily.
To walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Mm.
And yeah, it's awesome. Because he uses biblical principles to teach people about being out of debt and then building wealth to leave a lasting legacy. And not just because, oh, money is the, you know, money makes the world go round. No, it's just an awesome tool that you can use to spread the gospel, you know, the spirit of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, I'm not going to get into that because this is not a financial podcast. But like I said,
but we can separate it though. Like I want to be rude and interrupt.
Yeah,
and be like,
ahead.
No, like you nailed it right in the head right now. It's that it doesn't. We can't separate that. You know, everything that we do has to be related. my wife and I, Vivian and I, were talking about this with our brother Miguel yesterday, that money or not caring about money cannot be the reason why we do things. You know, we were talking about jobs, and this guy, man, like, when he becomes a real, like, when he really gets into the faith, and it's my prayer that he does, we're gonna have like a freaking warrior for the faith.
Yeah,
because he's finding so much meaning in his life right now, and it's just a beautiful thing to watch, just to watch how he's been growing.
Yeah,
and he was saying that you have to have a love for your craft, and you have to have a love for helping people. Because if money's your motivation, you're either going to be too greedy and you're never going to have enough money and you're going to exploit people for the sake of getting rich, or you're not going to care enough to do your job the way you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And so if your motivation for doing what you do is the love of your craft and to actually serve those that you're working for, then you're going to do your job right. Then you're going to be a real asset. And when it comes to money, like, you can't separate that, because...
Yeah.
What's the reason to get money? Is it just to get money? And if you don't care, then you're not going to be motivated to do things, you know? So, mm-hmm. So money cannot be the issue, but it needs to be something that we use to bless other people. One of my failings, you know, talking about also us not being so willing to share our failings, is that I've been taking my summer break, and I've been waking up late, and that's not something that I'm okay with. Because, you know, I like waking up early, because being up before everyone else means I can pray for everyone while they're still asleep. That means that I can do the dishes. That means that I can get to do things around the house and serve like a man, like I'm supposed to. You know, and so that's one of the struggles. And so I've been fixing it the last couple of days, but I really want to keep it going, and I really want to be intentional about it, because we can't put things into compartments. We are one reality, one physical and spiritual reality mixed together. When I sin, it's not my body that sins. It's body and soul. We're composites. I mean, that's a long-winded interruption about money.
It's a very good compliment to what we were talking about. The reason why I brought him up was because I don't know exactly what Dave Ramsey was talking about, but... He said that he had read this particular scripture his entire life, and it's John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he said that one time he was reading his scriptures really early in the morning too, because he also gets up before his family. He wakes up like, I think, 4 a.m.
Dang.
And then
he's part of that crew.
Yeah.
I can't be part of that crew.
And he said that it wasn't quite 4 a.m., but it was still very, very early. And then he has two daughters and a son. And this is like back in the early, early 90s. So his kids
back
were...
Back in the day.
So his children were little children. And his little boy, his only boy, he goes into Dave's study with him. He's like, hey, Pop. He's like, hey, come. So he sits him on his lap, and then... He starts weeping, Dave. And he's like, are you sad, Dad? Or did I make you cry? Something like this. He's like, no, it's not you, baby boy. And then he starts reading the scripture to him. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. And then he looks at him and he says, I don't think I can do that. He's there holding his little 4-year-old son.
Dang.
Said if I were God, all these people would be in so much trouble.
Oh man,
and it just goes to show just how much we need God.
Yeah,
because I don't have children. The closest thing I have to a child is my 6-year-old nephew. He's gonna turn 6 in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I've had him since he was a baby. Like, I remember, like when he was born, and he used to cry a lot. My sister had a very difficult pregnancy, and so he was taking in all the sadness and all of that. So he was born with all that sadness in him, and he would cry. He would turn purple almost. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night almost on a daily basis and just holding him. And I wouldn't try to get him to shut up. I would actually tell him, just let it all out, baby boy. Just let it all out. I would just stand and hold him and let him know that he was loved, that he was cared for, no matter how confusing the sadness the anguish he felt inside of him, that it wasn't his fault and it wasn't necessarily his mother's fault either. I guess to a certain extent, you know, but that he was loved. Just caress him and he would eventually recover his breathing and turn back to his normal color. I would not be able to give him up like God did with his only son. And like I said, you know, that's just a reminder of how much we need God's love, no matter how grown up we think we are. That's for sure.
And that's a deeper level of understanding, the fact that that right there, that little scripture, is what we call the Paschal mystery. Mm-hmm. Or the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. Is that we can't really possibly understand it. Like, it's just, it's a mystery for a reason. Is that thought right there, a thought that can make a grown man weep.
Yeah.
That right there is the closest we can probably come to understand. I mean, and you know, I can't even speak for mothers, you know, who actually give so much of themselves, you know, their bodies. Yeah. And man, if you're a married man, I hope you thank your wife for her stretch marks.
Yeah.
Because she gave so much for that child that you love so much. You know, so I can't even imagine what a mother, what that verse means to a mother. So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferro.
Aquitur.